Part 1. 1707. Village of Okup, Podolia region. The Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth. 1.
Caring for that child is like trying to tame the wind,
the butcher's widow lamented, unaware that Srolik was near enough to hear her. The gentle widow huddled close to her friend under the baker's tin awning, waiting for the hard rain to ease so she could make her way through the marketplace before the Sabbath's descent.
We have done what we could to honor the memory of the boy's holy parents,
the baker's wife assured her companion.
The righteous Sarah and Eliezer would surely forgive us for giving up an impossible duty.
There was nothing to forgive, Srolik thought, crouched for shelter under a nearby empty cart. The villagers of Okup had cared for him as best they could these past 3 years. It wasn't the villagers' fault that his parents were dead.
Your strange ways are no surprise to me, the tinsmith had chided early that morning, dragging his cart past Srolik. Your parents bore you in the midnight of their lives. Little wonder your mind is wrapped in darkness.
Srolik had kept his gaze lowered as usual, continuing to walk slowly toward no particular destination. He hadn't understood what the tinsmith meant, but felt relieved to hear him say it. Maybe this explained why Srolik seemed to move in a different world than others around him, a world quiet and vast, as if it had no end. Often when his neighbors spoke to him, he watched their lips move and hands gesture as if he were deep inside his own body, looking out at them. That was why he preferred to walk with his head lowered, rarely looking into people's eyes or addressing them. He hoped they would not address him either. Better they talk about him as if he were not there. He wasn't afraid of them, though some thought so. It was just that when his father had drawn his last breath, it seemed as if he had taken Srolik's voice with him. Srolik was 6 years old when his father Eliezer died. A handful of village men crowded into the room where his father lay in the dim light of their single oil lamp. Srolik watched from the foot of the bed. It was the bed he and his father had slept in together since the day he'd been born, the same bed his mother had died in, holding him. The towering shadows of the men rocked back and forth while Malach Hamovis, the angel of death, waited patiently in the dark corner. Reb Eliezer lifted a gaunt hand to call Srolik to his side. Leaning over him, Srolik felt his father's coarse beard on his cheek and heard the rasping of the old man's breath. When Reb Eliezer started to speak, Srolik held his breath. He wanted to listen with his whole body and let the tenderness of his father's words wash over him.
Do not be afraid, Srolik, Reb Eliezer whispered hoarsely.
Srolik was afraid, but he did not say so. He wiped his tears with his sleeve, though he knew his father would not mind him crying. When he turned back, he was surprised to see joy in his father's eyes. Reb Eliezer took Srolik's small hand in his trembling grasp, lifted his head slightly, and looked straight into Srolik's eyes.
You will not be alone, my son. God is with you.
Then he lowered his head, as if its weight were too great, and closed his eyes, his large hand suddenly heavier in Srolik's. Reb Eliezer did not move again. Srolik tried not to move either, hoping he might see the quiet angel of death take his father's soul.